Open our hearts, O Lord, to listen to the words of your Son. The gospel acclamation that we heard earlier. You know, brothers and sisters, today's readings should give us such hope and joy if we have open, honest, and humble hearts. If we are willing to accept that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, that God's ways are not our ways. If we are willing to accept that God's ways and God's thoughts are infinitely, infinitely, infinitely higher than our ways and our thoughts. If we're willing to accept this truth, and if we're willing to accept the Word of God with openness and honesty, honesty about ourselves and our own lives, and humility. If we're willing to do that, then today's readings will give us great hope and great joy. In today's readings, God is reminding us of some very basic and fundamental truths of the Catholic faith. In fact, very basic and fundamental realities. Fundamental truths of reality. God is reminding us of truths that we need to know more and more and more. Probably most of us here probably already know these truths. Maybe there's some of us who don't, but probably most of us already know these truths. Probably most of us are already very familiar with these truths. But that doesn't mean that we don't need to hear them again and think about them again and listen to them again. Because we never, ever graduate from the basics. These are truths which we need to acknowledge, not just intellectually, not just in our heads. These are truths that we need to increasingly internalize. Truths which we need to allow to sink deeper and deeper and deeper into our hearts. These are truths which we need to shape the way that we think, the way that we feel, the way that we look at the world, the way that we choose, the way that we act, the way that we live our whole lives. And until that happens, then we need to hear these truths proclaimed to us again and again, and we need to think about these truths and meditate on these truths again and again. You know, there's a story I heard, well, it's a joke really, but anyway, about a priest. And in his parish, every Sunday, every single Sunday, he preached exactly the same homily. Every single Sunday. And people were getting a bit tired of this. And they're saying, come on. You know, every single week, you preach exactly the same homily as to how we're meant to live. And he said, okay, yeah, I do. But when you all start to put it into practice, then I'll move on to the next one. We need to hear the same truths again and again. The scriptures are full of the same truths again and again. So, okay, what are these truths that God's speaking through the readings today? Actually, I think quite a few, a number. But I want to focus on three. First, that God is holy, God is great. Second, that we are sinful and do not deserve God's love and salvation. And third, that God loves us so much, and that to experience and respond to his love and mercy through Jesus is the very best thing that can ever happen to us. Three basic truths. Let's just think about them briefly again. One, God is holy, God is great. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord, through the prophet Isaiah in today's first reading. As far as the heavens are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. The Lord is holy in all his works, says the psalmist in today's psalm. The Lord is great, he says. His greatness cannot be measured. It is unsearchable. God's not the same as us, brothers and sisters. God is not the same as us. God's not just a stronger and more powerful version of a human being. You know, he's not like those gods in the Thor films, you know? The gods in the Thor films, they're like human beings, yes? God is not like that. God is completely and utterly different from us. God alone exists for all eternity, without beginning and without end. One holy God in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. God alone is the heavenly King, the divine majesty, the Lord of heaven and earth, supreme over all. God alone is the Most High. God alone is truly great. God alone is infinite. God alone is the Holy One, utterly transcendent, which means completely other in his nature. God alone is the all-powerful one, the all-knowing one, completely indescribable. We have glimpses, we have images, we have analogies that we use to try to talk about God, the scriptures do, but in the end, they don't enable us to really know what he's like, because he is so other, so holy. God is the creator of everything. We're his creatures. He's our creator. God made us, and we continue to exist only because he continues to keep us in existence. Should God cease to uphold the universe, even for just one moment, it would all disappear instantly. The billions and billions and billions and billions and billions of stars in this galaxy would just disappear immediately. The billions and billions and billions and billions of galaxies in the universe would all disappear immediately should God stop keeping it all in existence. We would just disappear immediately. We need to know this. We really, really need to know this, because so often we have such a low view of God. We don't understand. Oh, we can never fully understand. But we have such a low view of God. Really, we think of him just like someone like us up in the sky. Well, some people do that. The first truth for us to consider, not just today, but maybe during this next week, as we go out. God is holy. God is great. If we really internalize this, if we really, really, really knew this, not just intellectually, but in our hearts, in our very beings, our lives would be so different. Second truth for us to consider. We are sinful and do not deserve God's love and salvation. We are sinful and do not deserve God's love and salvation. That is the bad news which the world does not want to accept. That is the bad news that very often we do not want to accept. In today's first reading, the prophet Isaiah says, "Let the wicked man abandon his ways, the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn back to the Lord, who will have pity on him." Each one of us here needs to realize that this wicked person, this evil person that Isaiah talks about, is not some theoretical person. It's not just someone out there. It's me. It's me. It really is me. I am the wicked person. I am the evil person whom God is calling to repent and turn back to him. It's me. And it's you too, huh? It's you. It's all of us. It's each one of us. God doesn't owe me anything. And I need to know this, and you need to know this. God does not owe us anything. So often we can be like the grumbling, complaining workers in today's gospel. God gives them a wage, and they complain, and they grumble, and they think that they deserve more. And likewise, we can think that we deserve more from God. We deserve something good. God's in our debt. We can even start looking at others and thinking, oh, I deserve more than them from God. We can think that we've earned God's love because we've been good enough. Sometimes we fall the other extreme and we get depressed because we realize we're not good enough. But sometimes we think that. We think that we can earn God's salvation. We think it's possible to earn God's salvation by being good enough. If I'm good enough, if I'm good enough, if I'm good enough, God will love me. God will give me salvation. We can sometimes think that the evil in the world is simply because of others and not because of us. We refuse to look at our own weakness, our own sin. But we need to realize the truth. We really do. We need to realize the truth that each one of us is to blame for the evil in the world. That each one of us is sinful and that none of us deserve God's love and salvation. I don't know if you've heard of someone called G.K. Chesterton, a famous British author. Some years ago, there was a competition, I think it was a competition in the Times, or at least the Times newspaper in England, asked people to write in a letter saying what was wrong with the world. Write in a letter to the Times what was wrong with the world. A lot of people wrote in their letters, and the Times published some of them. And one of the ones they published was the reply from G.K. Chesterton, answering this question, what is wrong with the world? He said, "Dear sir, I am. Yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton." Chesterton understood this truth. Chesterton understood this truth that we're sinners. That we must stop looking at others and thinking, you know, it's all their fault. Now, let's look at ourselves and admit, I'm what's wrong with this world. We need to understand this truth. We are sinful and do not deserve God's love and salvation. I'm starting to sound very gloomy, aren't I? I said at the beginning of Mass that if we listen to these readings, we should be so joyful. We should be so glad, so joyful. What did I say? What did I say exactly? That we should be so joyful. But you know, it's only when we start to understand the bad news that we can really, really, really appreciate the good news. And the good news really is so wonderful, so amazing, and so joyful. And I recognize that very often the church has just gone on and 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 on about the bad news and hasn't really talked about the good news, and some priests, whatever. But we need both. We need to understand the bad news and we need to understand the good news. And so the third thing that I want us to think about today, the third truth that I want us to consider, is that God loves us so much. And also the truth that to experience and respond to God's love and mercy through Jesus is the best thing, the very, very best thing that can ever happen to us. St. Paul, again, understood this truth so well. In today's second reading, St. Paul says, "For me, life is Christ. To me, life is Christ. I want to be gone and be with Christ." That, he says, would be so much better for me than staying alive in this world. Before his conversion, St. Paul had thought that he could deserve God's salvation through observing the law. He was very righteous, a very religious person. If we're honest, a bit like many Catholics, a bit like many of us, very religious. Thinking he could earn and deserve God's love. And then in his righteousness, in his zeal for God, in his bigotedness, he started persecuting Christians. Going from house to house, looking for them so that they could be thrown into prison and even killed. And then he had an encounter with the risen Christ. He had an encounter with the living Jesus Christ. And after that encounter, he realized his sins. He called himself the chief of sinners. He understood that truth, but he also understood the truth of God's, how much God loved him. And he came to say, yeah, all that matters is Jesus. Because Jesus is the one who gives me God's love, who gives me God's life, who gives me God's salvation. Jesus is the one who makes me who I should be. All I want is Jesus, he said in Philippians. To know him, to love him, to be in him, to experience him, to live as he wants me to live. That's the third truth that I want us to consider tonight. Yes, we are sinners. Yes, we are sinners. And yes, we need to realize this. But God still loves us. God loves us so, 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 so much. I think you've seen me, you know, sometimes, as I say, what I do in Nigeria, because of the culture there, running up and down the church. God loves you, brother. God loves you. But, you know, if we really understood God's love, how much God loves us, we wouldn't be able to contain it. Like St. Paul, we wouldn't be able to contain it. We'd know that experiencing God's love is the most important thing that could ever happen to us. Experiencing God's love through Jesus Christ. And we would want, like St. Paul, to go out and tell everybody.